Now let us stand as we prepare the gospel lesson for today. It comes from Matthew 13, 24 through 30. The parable of the weeds. Jesus told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seeds in the field. But while everyone was sleeping, his enemies came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. When the wheat sprouted and formed heads, then the weeds also appeared. The owner's servants came to him and said, "Sir, didn't we sow good seed in the fields? Where then did the weeds come from?" "An enemy did this," he replied. The servant asked him, "Do you want us to go and pull them up?" "No," he answered, "because while you are pulling the weeds, you may root up the wheat, and then let both grow together until the harvest. At that time, I will tell the harvesters, first collect the weeds and tie them in bundles to be burned. Then gather the wheat and bring it into my barn." The parables of the weeds explain. Then he left the crowd and went into the house. His disciples came to him and said, "Explain to us the parable of the weeds in the field." He answered, "The one who sowed the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, and the good seed stand for the sons of the kingdom. The weeds are the sons of the evil ones, and the enemy who sows them in is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the harvesters are angels. As the weeds are pulled up and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will weed out of his kingdom everything that causes sin and all who do evil. They will throw them into the fiery furnace, where they will be weeping and gnashing of the teeth. Then the righteous shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears, let him hear." This is the word of our Lord.
Thank you, God. You may be seated. Thank you very much. Whoa, I just appreciate so much the carpenters singing for us this morning, and the joyful singers sang at both services as well. And this was one of the few times that on the same Sunday somebody joined the church. They had to sing for their supper, and the carpenters joined the church at the early service this morning, and we're just thrilled to have them as a part of our congregation. And I had to confess to everybody at the first service, and I must do the same with you, because if you're going to confess, you got to get it out here in the open so everybody can see it, and that is, I often sing like the carpenters. You knew that? Excuse me? No, in the shower, you would be surprised at those high notes that I can reach. Now, have you done the same thing? You know, reach, you know, you can really get up there, and it's just, it's one of those occasions, and I love it. You know, so thank you for being with us and for singing for us today and for inspiring me to keep on singing in the shower, but probably not anywhere else. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord God, for your holy word, for this wonderful opportunity to be together, for the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, and for this opportunity you give us to share in that inspiration as we study your word. Now may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I love to garden. I've always loved to garden since I was a child. I loved to garden when I lived on the farm the first time. Loved to garden when I lived on the farm the second time. In between those times, we were talking about it during the break in services, in between those times, I spent a year in Pasadena, Texas. So you can understand why I really loved gardening and getting back to Pennsylvania to garden some more. Now, those were the days when we didn't have air conditioning in our homes in Texas. At least they didn't in 5440 Lola Drive. We had windows that opened, though. And that was about the extent of the air conditioning we had in those days. But gardening's always been high on my list of things that I've loved to do over the years. There's a certain amount of relaxation that one gets from sort of planting things, whether it's tomatoes and beans and squash or flowers and plants and shrub. I rather plant the tomatoes and beans and squash. And like we had on a farm, the best cantaloupe that you would ever find did not come from Rocky Ford, Colorado. They came from Carsonville, Pennsylvania. They were called Hearts of Gold cantaloupe. And when you cut into those things, oh my heaven. Were they perfect or what? Not or what. They were just great. And the biggest tomatoes, my, they were just big. They were big tomatoes. And, you know, you slice one of those, you could go four meals. It was just, it's wonderful. Now, in those days, we raised crops for two basic reasons, one of which was for our own table. And many of you who grew up on a farm realize that's where a lot of your food came from, what you grew yourself or raised yourself in livestock, chickens or goats or whatever you raised. The other side of it, it was part of the family's income. My father worked at the Harrisburg Steel Corporation, and at the rest of the time he was a truck farmer. So every week we took crops downtown into Harrisburg, sold them either wholesale or at the market. We had stalls in two different markets, and we went there every week and sold our wares so we could make a living. So raising crops and planting things has just been sort of part of my life throughout my life. I still love doing it. The one thing I don't like doing more than anything else, however, is pulling those weeds. I can do the planting. I can pick the tomatoes and the beans and the lima beans and the squash. But please don't ask me to pull any more weeds. I just don't like weeds. It takes time. Pulling weeds are monotonous. And it's no fun. And besides that, I've reached a point in time, sometimes I can't tell the difference between the plants. Oh, you have this problem too? Difference between the plants and the weeds. Now, when I get it wrong, the first person in my family who lets me know that is here in church today. What are you doing? That was a plant. No, it was a weed. At least it looks like a weed. No, the weed looks like a plant. The plant looks like a weed. You have to get over that and work through it. I understand that. Minneapolis pastor Leif Anderson tells the story of calling Kemlon one day to try to take care of his suburban weed-infested lawn. He had an experience that I'm surprised he even bragged about it at all. He brought it out in public. And I don't know if he should have. He said, I'm one of the few lawns that were rejected by Kemlon. They said when they looked at my lawn that the weeds were so bad there was nothing they could do about it. One member of his church volunteered to help out, though. He said, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll remove all the old lawn and start all over again. Put some new sod down, get that going. You'll be as good as new, and things will be fine. But an old farmer came to him with a little advice. He thought he would try because this one idea was going to cost a whole lot of money. So he said, well, maybe I ought to listen to the farmer, because the farmer said this, and I'm quoting, don't worry so much about getting rid of the weeds, just grow the grass, and the grass will take care of the weeds. Well, Leif said, I don't know if that idea was going to work or not, but I thought I'd give it a try, and besides that, it was a little cheaper. And so he tried that, and he said, for some unknown reason, it was pretty sound advice. Because all those future plantings of the grass brought forth the most beautiful yard we ever had. It was all about the grass. It was not about the weeds. And I wonder, as we take a look at life, if there isn't some example for us in that whole thought about the time that we give, the primary focus we give in our lives. Is it growing grass or pulling weeds? It was the same question for the farmer in today's parable in Matthew. This is the second week we've been in Matthew 13, dealing with the kingdom of heaven. I thought we'd look at it again. And the more I studied some of those passages in there, I thought, we have to go back and revisit this. There's something in this passage for today, more than just this parable that deals with the kingdom of heaven. There's something in there that caught my attention And I just felt like I had to share it with you today. Because both the farmer in the parable and Leith Anderson in his yard deal with the same thing. Concentration on the positive, on growth, instead of pouring time and energy and resources into the killing of weeds. Whoa! I said, there's something that speaks to us today in this day and time. Maybe we need to check it out. Well, when you take a look at the Bible, this, of course, is the parable of the wheat and the weeds, and it's found only in Matthew's gospel. By the way, when Jesus brought these parables forward, he never gave them a title, and when the folks wrote the gospels, they never gave them titles either. The titles are the things that we put on them to better understand them. We could have called it the parable of the frustrated farmer. That would be good. Or the parable of the conscientious farmhands. Or the parable of the irresponsible master. We could have given them all kinds of names. God's kingdom is like a farmer who planted good seed in his field. And that night, while his hired men were asleep, his enemies sowed thistles all through the wheat and slipped away before dawn. Now, when I read that, I thought, how ludicrous this whole statement is. I mean, you could tell it's a parable right off the bat. How many of you in your lifetime have put a yard in, and while you were sleeping at night, one of your neighbors came in and planted dandelion in your yard, and you woke up with just a mass of dandelion? I mean, read the parable. It sounds sort of ludicrous, because we've never had anything happen like that. It just doesn't make a whole lot of sense. I don't know. Well, maybe, according to one author, that perhaps the weed that was put in by the evil one, somebody who snuck in the yard at night, was darnel. Now, darnel was a poisonous plant that looked very much like wheat when it was young. So when they were growing up side by side, if somebody had thrown some of those seeds in the wheat field, by the time they started to grow, both the wheat and the weed would look exactly alike, and you wouldn't know which one to pull. Jesus said, wait until the harvest. We'll take care of all of that. Some enemy did this. The farmhands were mystified. Master, I thought that was clean seed you put in the ground. Wasn't it? I mean, wasn't it the seed that should produce the wheat for us? Where did the thistles come from? Well, some enemy did it. I don't know who the enemy was, but the enemy did it. Well, let's pull out the weeds. Hold on, said the farmer. Not so fast. Pull out the weeds, you pull out the wheat. It's right in Scripture. And Jesus enlightens us with these words. At the end of the age, the harvest hand angels will take care of that at proper time. They will weed out the thistles, pitch them in the trash, and be done with them. All of this will happen in God's time, not yours. I read that statement and I thought, my Lord, have mercy. Isn't this one of our great predicaments that we live with all the time? We want everything on our time, not God's time. We want it done now, immediately. There's no waiting around. We live in a society that is so impatient about everything. And the farmhands were impatient. Impatient. Dealing with the weeds, dealing with the seeds, dealing with the thistles. Barry Noreen, who writes for the Gazette, talked about this very subject. He was giving opinions about the oil crises. I would imagine there's everyone in here has an opinion about the oil crises. He said, we have our own villains. Choose your own. Oh, I thought about this. The villain. We have our own villains, the weeds in our field. We have our own weeds, and we cultivate those weeds very, very carefully. He says this, the economy is poor, gas prices sky high, it's a political year, and our collective national angst makes it difficult to resist the temptation of singling out the convenient villain. Ah, the weeds, the convenient villain that we all have. We have those. What are they? What are the convenient villains? The weeds? Well, the economy, consumers, big gas-guzzling cars, says Barry Noreen. The oil industry experts, the Chinese, he said, the Chinese. He said, we could ask the Chinese to resort to rickshaws, but they're not likely to agree. What a way to deal with the oil crisis. There are other weeds out there in the field. Our weeds. What are they? Well, the list may start off with public officials. You know how we feel about public officials. Elected and appointed, it really doesn't matter. They're all corrupt, wanting to plant weeds in our seeds. Well, what do we do about it? There are tyrants and bullies, mortgage lenders, bankers and Congress, both major political parties. We want to be fair about this. Drug addicts, liberals and conservatives, all men. Yeah, all men are to blame. They're all men, Muslims. The Homeowners Association. Oh, yeah. The school board. Fires that ravage the West. Poverty. Health issues that run amok in some of our families. Church meetings. And the list goes on and on and on. These are the weeds we grow on our fields. How do we deal with them? All to all of this, Jesus says in so many words, don't let those turkeys get you down. Don't let them get you down. You're going to have all those weeds. But I tell you right now, Jesus says in so many words, constantly fighting weeds can become a soul-sapping experience, depleting our stamina, our sanity, and our spirit. It can be. Spending all those times in those weeds will destroy you eventually. He describes this in the Message. He said, the Son of Man will send his angels. He'll weed out the thistles from his kingdom, pitch them in the trash. They'll be done with. And he says, at the same time, ripe, holy lives will mature and adorn the kingdom of their Father. Well, I'm finishing up here now. But I want to say this, that Jesus does not intend the body of Christ to be a hothouse flower. You know what hothouse plants are, don't you? They live in sort of a sterile environment. You know, the temperature is controlled, the amount of moisture is controlled. There's nothing around them. They can all live just sort of by themselves together. Very sterile kind of existence. Jesus never intended us to live this way. He intended us to live in an imperfect world, among the weeds, learning how to survive as the body of Christ. That's what he taught us with his own life. To survive in the presence of the weeds, negative impact and energy. To make the decision which will control your lives, the wheat or the weeds. You have to make that choice. And besides that, pulling weeds is not the church's business. We are not here to pull weeds. We are here to grow wheat. You understand that? We're here to grow wheat, and there's a lot of wheat to grow. Growing bread for the world that's starving. Growing souls ripe for service in a world which so desperately needs it. Growing love to touch a dying world. This is our task. So I think today, we just all need to take a deep breath for a change. Just let all of this weeds go. Enjoy being in God's field, even for just a few moments. And use this day to see God's beauty, to smell the roses, to appreciate your family, to enjoy life. Because I think in the long haul, you and your family and our world will be better for it if we concentrate on the wheat rather than the weeds. Amen.